Good morning, everybody. Couldn't really think of much of anything this morning to talk about, but this one thing came to my mind. It's in Matthew 18. Start verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw that what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I was looking at this, and I haven't been too well. So my mind, old things were popping up in my head. A lot of old things. About stuff that I just cringe at some of the things that I've done. I was against other people or against the Lord. Let's get it right. I mean, you trespass against other people, but when you do that, you sin against the Lord. And I was looking at that thing, and I'm shamefully, there's too much that I... there's so much that the Lord's forgiven me. I mean, these are just little instances in my head that were going on. Not even the whole book that was yet against me. I mean, all these things were against me. I mean, there's a freaking mountain of book. It was probably as big as the Bible of all the things I've done. I was against the Lord. I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at how the Lord forgave me of all those things, of blotting out the handwriting of ordinances against me. And He blotted it out with His blood when He went to the cross. And I look at the times where I might have gotten frustrated with my wife. I've gotten frustrated with somebody at work. I've gotten frustrated with a brother or sister in the Lord. And this came to my mind because it's like, how in the world can I hold something against anybody? And it's a sad thing, to be honest with you, of even getting the least most irritated with anybody when I have a mountain of debt that's been washed away. It's the type of grace. And for His body, this is the type of grace that we need to have on one another. And for the people out there that don't know the Lord, you take a look at Jesus, who did not have a single sentence written against Him, but went to the cross to pay the price for all. Where His body were to be that example. How can we hold anything against anybody when the Lord's washed all that away? Now, I'm not talking about, there are times and there's areas where you bring something out that might be coming before them and the Lord. And that's necessary and that's loving. That's not the same thing. It's just one of those things. But if we're not forgiving others like we have been forgiven, we got a couple things working against us. One is we're in bondage to that. It's where we put ourselves in bondage when we don't forgive. And we are absolutely useless for the Lord and His gospel. It's going to hold you back from growing in the Lord if you hang on to anything against anybody else. But not only that, it's not going to show anybody what the gospel is. So it's absolutely counterproductive unless we become like the Lord and forgiven one another. We won't be able to move from start if we don't have the attitude of the Lord that forgave all. That's all I got.
This is a group, looks like it could use some good news. I know my buddy Phil sounds like it. The good news is the gospel of peace. And I appreciate Phil fighting against the affliction to come up here and share. I feel bad for making him or asking him to, which equates to making him. But I know the Lord will bless it. You know, it's kind of interesting that he talked about Matthew 18 there. And the way when we're forgiven much, we fail to forgive others of anything. That's just, we're selfish. And can't see past the end of our noses many times. It's one of those things where just before I came in here, Lord kind of directed me to Romans 12. And I don't know how long this is going to be, but I don't expect it's going to be terribly long. There's a whole lot of instruction in this, if you can receive it. Starting in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, Phil was throwing his body on the altar coming up here. I'm sure because I've been, you know, afflicted with one of these seasonal viruses that come around before. And, you know, by the second day, you've lost the will to live. God, just please kill me now and get it over with. Usually it doesn't take the second day. Usually I'm there by the end of the first day. But present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this is, you know, even if he's just talking plural here, so the bodies, you're not talking about a body, he's talking about, or the body, he's talking about bodies. And he has the authority to do that because we're purchased with a price. A son paid the price for us. Not unreasonable for him to challenge us to stand up and put others before ourselves, even if it's sacrificial in nature. It's about preferring other people over ourselves. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed. Well, when the world is like that, the guy that went and was from having been forgiven to exacting the last penny from those under him, that's the way everybody else in the world is. There's no difference between you and if you're doing that and everybody else in the world. That's confirmation as unto the world. If you're going to submit yourself to the Lord for renewing of your mind, what does that look like? Well, what it looks like is somebody who's diligent about getting into the, knowing the word of the Lord. John 15, which I was, had my thumb in until I put the Bible down here. 3, now you're clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. If you'll sit and either receive those who speak the word of the Lord, or receive from reading the word of the Lord, you can stay clean and have your mind transformed. That's the process. And it will empower you to prove what the plan of the Lord is. Not, okay, Lord, here's my plan, now bless them. It's, okay, Lord, what would you have me do today? Plan. And you can actually prove by what you do what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, almost everything else in the rest of this chapter is about how that works out in your life. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has hath dealt unto every man the measure of faith. Well, this is not the only place we have a witness about against high-mindedness, pride, not thinking of himself more highly than he ought, about how magnificently you esteem yourself. You know, I'm like Phil. I remember enough of the darkness of my past times. I know what it felt like. I know. I'm reminded all the time where I came from. There's nothing for me to boast in going on there. But to think soberly according as God has dealt, and this is not this phrase, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. This is not a modifying phrase. This is since God has dealt in this way to every man a measure of faith. You've got, every man has been given a measure of faith. What are you going to put it in? If you commit it to him and submit yourself as a living sacrifice, I need to be transformed. You know, if you got here and you shoot a turkey in turkey season, of course, wouldn't want to do anything illegal. But you're going to have to do some stuff to that turkey to transform it into something you can eat. You probably want to take some of the feathers off and gut it and other things. But it's not edible in the state it's in. It has to be transformed. It has to be cooked. For as we have many members in one body, many members, one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And every one members one of another. We're not, there's no way you can disassociate yourself and stay in the body. If you esteem yourself better, if I esteem myself better than Brad and want to have nothing to do with him because he just dirties the air around me and dirties the field of vision around me when he's around, which all of course may be true, but that's preferring myself before him and separating me from the body. Doesn't hurt him any, separates me from the body. The stuff Dave had been talking about the last 2 weeks in his sermon out from Texas that comes on after our show, Hour of Truth. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy according to the proportion of faith. And what I'm trying to do here is not read the italics, because it makes sense without the italics. In other words, you know, if your gift is prophecy, then prophesy according to proportion of faith. Or ministry, ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. All is according to as you've been given faith. You know, when you get revealed to you that this is something you can serve in, and this is the gift that you've been given, do it. You know, when you're not doing it, you're not edifying the body, you're not being, as a member of the body, you're not doing what you're there for. That's why we've been given the gifts. We've been given the gifts to edify the body. That's part of how we support one another in the body. And if your faith is, that's the structure of God's, that's what His Word says, then you want to be part of the body and not cut yourself off from it by doing your own thing. I'd hate for my heart to start doing its own thing. It'd be very destructive for me, right? Already have enough problems with portions of my body doing their own thing. Whether it be severed nerves or worn out nerve bundles or whatever it is, I already have my own issues with that. And the older you get, the less, you know, obedient to the purposes and plans of the Lord's the various members of your body get. But, you know, all right, Lord, I'm trusting you. I need you to do all this stuff because my trust and faith isn't in my ability or the doctor's, physician's ability to restore me. My trust and hope is in you and your ability to carry me, Lord. Be my provision. All right, let's see where did I leave off here. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth with simplicity. You don't give and, you know, complicate it by giving to expect with the expectation that they owe you something now. You give because you can give. And you praise the Lord that you have something to give. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, loves to be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. I know that, and I didn't have time to look up the dissimulation. Hope, if you could help look it up for me. I think what that means is limitless and abundant love. Abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good. That's pretty simple, right? Need any further? Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Well, that's the opposite of high-mindedness. Honor one another. And a kindly affection to them with brotherly love, preferring one another. That means being willing to be inconvenienced because a brother needs you. That's a good enough reason. That means not sitting and holding, harboring in your heart something that they did that you thought you deserved better than. It means giving that up. You don't want people holding that stuff against you. You don't want Jesus holding that stuff against you. That's what it means in the Lord's Prayer when it says, Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If you want His forgiveness, then you want to be able to forgive and don't harbor something in your heart and hold it and let it take a root of bitterness. This is how you keep that from happening. This is an inoculation. This is part of how receiving His Word and doing it cleanses you and keeps you clean. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You're doing all this not because you're anything special or they're anything special. You're doing it because that's how the Lord would have you serve Him. It's just the way it works. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And you know, this is part of the continuity of the sense. You know, it starts off with being kindly affectioned. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. You find, you know, a brother needs something, and you have it, you can give it to him, great. If you don't have it, you can help him get what he needs to get it, or point him to somebody else who can help them with it. That's all this is. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Just help people out. We need it sometimes. We just need a little hand sometimes. Given to hospitality. That means open doors. Ready to serve to the needs. Whether they be, you know, physical and hunger related or... Yeah. Run around in 16 degree weather fixing... frozen water lines. Actually, it's a little warmer than that by then because it had expanded and busted. So, been a fun series of days around here. Bless them which persecute you. Okay, here we go. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Of the same mind, one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. That condescend has a negative connotation to it today, but that's not what that means. That means mind not high things. That means don't think there's somebody that you're better than. Because you're either worth more or have more stuff or have better stuff or know more things in the Lord, have more knowledge. That means you regard them as being worth something to the Lord. Don't consider yourself wise in your own conceits. That was an interesting combination of trying to say wise and conceit, since it came out wines. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men. That means you can keep something going. You can keep the drama rolling for your entertainment or because it keeps you, you know, in the spotlight, attention on you like you like it. You can stir the pot just to watch it all unfold before you for your entertainment. Don't do that. That hurts people. It's unnecessary. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Just like if you choose to humble yourself now, So that the promise of the Lord is that the time will come when He can exalt you. If you cast all the injustices and things that have been done against you onto Him, He's going to take care of equalizing the scales of justice. And if you can trust Him for your salvation, and you can receive Him as your Lord, then you can cast all your worries on Him, because as 1 Peter 5 says, He cares for you. He's going to be the judge. Trust in His verdict. It's a righteous verdict. Let Him be your avenger. It's a principle that's all through the Bible. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. The way to overcome evil is by doing what you know to do that's good. And being bold to make that decision. You're not going to learn how to do it right away, right off. You're going to do it, you'll screw it up sometimes. Live with it. That's no big deal. Most of the time you have an opportunity to fix it. There's so many times people don't move because they're scared of doing something wrong. You're never going to learn how to do anything right if you never take a risk about doing something wrong. Doing something wrong, trying to do the right thing, is not going to send you to hell. It might be uncomfortable, but the Lord would have you learn. Because part of that learning process is to be able to teach. You can't teach something you don't know. That's all I have. Lord is good, man. This is what being transformed looks like. And it doesn't look, when I think of conformed, when I think of the way we are, the way the world is, the way people in the religious community are, it doesn't bear a whole lot of resemblance to this. There's no excuse for that. We all have the same word, the same revelation. And you either choose to believe it, receive it, and obey it, and do it, and then watch the Lord move, or you punch the clock and want to stand there at the end going, saying, "Lord, Lord, what? We did this in your name, we did that in your name." And He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's not a phrase you want to hear. It's going to stink to be you. Motives are everything. If you want your motives to be purged and purified, then you need to watch this stuff unfold in your life by trusting Him that His mechanism for transforming your mind into His, keeping you from conforming to the world. The world wants to drag you to destruction. Your body is in league with it. They're co-conspirators. The Lord didn't die for this body. This body's cursed. It's going to die. There's nothing here that's going to guarantee anybody that this thing's going to live past the 70 or whatever it post-cursed was limited to. You can't live to please this body and expect to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Savior from what? The fiery pits of hell. You have to submit yourself. Sacrifice. Throw your body up on the sacrifice altar, man. I need transformation, Lord. I've been conformed to this world. This world is death. And it's dragging me down with it. Lord, I receive you. I need you, Lord. You just say that simple. He'll meet you.